Start the recording. Okay, welcome to the Sunday night. There is a solution, newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The link will be posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA, do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the direction in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Hani, a compulsive overeater from Florida.
Thank you so much. My name is Hani, recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. Very, very nervous. So thank you everyone for being here. I don't generally share in the last time I shared, my video stopped working during my share and I felt like I lost my words and my train of thought and it was a little difficult. So I've been praying to God all day to just really just be with me and help the right words come out and hopefully what I've prepared will help spread some hope. And that's my prayer. One word really that's a barometer of how I'm doing today is recovered. And what have I recovered from, right? So as it says in the foreword of on page XIII, it's a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. That's what I've recovered from. By age 28, I declared myself hopeless in only one area of my life, my food and my body. I've accepted that there was never going to be a solution for me, that I was destined to make the best of my situation and endure a lifetime battle with the food. I felt like I had so many gifts. So this had to be my thing, right? Like you can't have it all. So this was going to be it. My past experiences before OA were unique to me, but not unique to the stories you hear. And for that reason, I'm going to give you just the general version of what things used to be like. So I'm someone who's never known or remembered a single day of food freedom. I was obese since childhood and declared morbidly obese in my 20s. And I hated the word morbid. It's funny that I was given this label, but I never really understood what it meant and I never really asked. In my mind, morbidly obese meant I was beyond really, really fat. And this was just the proper way of a doctor calling me a disgustingly misshapen fat person. However, the definition of the word morbid actually means of the nature or indicative of disease. So why couldn't the doctor just use those words? Why couldn't he just say that I have a disease? They told me all the complications that come from obesity, such as diabetes, heart-related issues, etc., but they never said how to solve my obesity with more than just a diet. Diets that I knew by years of trials, either in the form of meal plans, pills, or workouts, that only led to increased weight gain, anger, and depression. So here I was at my highest known weight of 265 pounds, size 20. I'm just to tell you now, I am a size 12. I've had, thank God, successful weight loss in this program. But at that time, I was 265 pounds with absolutely no solution, except to just accept this part of my life. And you didn't need to convince me that it would take some sort of miracle to ever get me to normal body weight. And even then, even if that happened, if I had a miracle, I wasn't convinced that I could hold on to it. And I would for sure just gain all the weight back. So what would be the point of a miracle even? And that is hopelessness. So when I came to the rooms of OA, I thought that I was blessed to have a place that I could come to discuss my hopeless situation with fellows, not realizing for many years that this was a place holding what would be the key to freedom, a freedom I had never known or imagined could exist. However, I was ready to settle for fellowship. That would have been enough for me. I never in my life had a group of people who could relate to me and give me a safe place to just talk about my deep, dark secrets with food. And when people kept saying in meetings, just keep coming back, I thought it was just a friendly way of saying you're not alone. And all I wanted at that time more than anything was to stop feeling so lonely in this area of my life. This was also a place where I felt was in no judgment zone. And I felt safe in this fellowship to say that I was, say what was on my heart to a complete group of strangers. I was taught very early in these rooms that there were foods I wouldn't be able to eat safely and I might be addicted to them. I completely related to that as I knew sugar was a huge struggle for me. And so I put all forms of sugar down and very early declared myself abstinent. So that was my abstinence. There I had it, my diet and my group support. And that really would have been enough for me. But little did I know that meanwhile, God, my loving higher power, had many more gifts to shower me with and was not going to let me settle this time. And I wish at this point I could say that that was it, that was the solution, and that I continued and I lived happily ever after, but it wasn't. Because something happened when I put the food down, when I put the sugar down that I couldn't understand, nor was I prepared for. And this is what it says on page 52, and this is what I started to identify with. I'll say it in first person. I was having trouble with personal relationships. I couldn't control my emotions. I was prey to misery and depression. I couldn't make a living, which that one I didn't really apply. I did have a good career. I had a feeling of uselessness. I was full of fear. I was unhappy, and I couldn't seem to be of real help to others. And those were not problems that I came to the rooms with. Okay, that my only problem when I came into a room that I thought was food, this is what happened when I started putting the food down. And it is at this time that I started to experience fear, anxiety, and panic like I never experienced before in my life. I was getting through life in a way that was painfully hard. I would come to my Sunday night meetings week after week crying about what a victim I was in life, and my shares always ended, but at least I didn't eat. At least I didn't pick up. And people clapped for me and hugged me as if this was some sort of win. Looking back, it's as insane as saying I got through my root canal crying and kicking and screaming, but at least I didn't take anesthesia or some sort of anesthetic. The thing I knew would just allow me to get through. 3.5 years of this, and this was more torture than before I came to the rooms. So I was scared. I was really scared because I heard things in this room that I couldn't unhear, and so I knew I couldn't go back to the way things were, nor did I really want to, and yet whatever I was doing here wasn't working. The diet with the group support was not going to cut it for a person like me. I was gonna find out I was the distinct entity that they talk about in the big book, the real alcoholic. And so I finally asked a question I thought related to all of you and not to me. Mind you, that for 4 years of sitting in these rooms and staring at it on the wall and reading them out loud in meetings, I asked, do you think I should work the steps? And so God introduced me to my first sponsor, Liz, and Liz introduced me to God. And Liz took me through the big book. We worked the steps, as outlined in the book, big book. And at that time, I was still declaring putting sugar down as my abstinence, but I was not ready to be honest with the many more food items and food behaviors that became increasingly problematic. I wanted to figure those things out on my own. I didn't want to give them all away. I wasn't ready. So the steps ended up giving me relief, but they didn't give me recovery, and for sure nothing that would be permanent or long lasting. As the big book says, in the doctor's opinion, on page XXX, I needed entire abstinence. I had to give it all away. And this took me another 2 years to be ready to do this. So this is where my pride started coming in and my ego. So COVID had come in 2019, and meetings were done in person, and I was not able to connect with the program of recovery through Zoom. And slowly but surely, the compulsive overeating took on a whole new form. And for the first time, while being in these rooms, I was starting to gain weight again. I got terrified because at that time there was a lot of talk of overweight people dying more easily. And the way people talked about them was just horrible. And I remember someone, talking about someone who had just died during COVID and said something, yeah, but she was so overweight, like, and I started thinking of, what if I die of COVID right now? What's everyone going to talk about me? And they're going to say, and they're going to tell my kids that I died because I was fat, And for the first time, this program really became life and death. And I finally had come to the crossroads that I needed. Was I going to pick the path I was going on that would lead to possibly a slow and painful death? Or was I going to ask for help? And I turned to God and I asked for inspiration what to do. And he gave me a name to call. And that was the thing about God that I've come to know, is that when I seek him in truth and sincerity, he's always answered. So that was in 2020, and it was really the first time I was finally ready to say, I'm willing to do anything, and I wasn't even scared to say that. Like, all these times I was dreading someone telling me, you're going to need to weigh and measure for the rest of your life. You're going to need to do this. You might need to quit your job. You might, like, there were so many things that had prevented me for years to not ask for the help I needed, that, when that white flag was finally waved, I said anything. And people said, look for someone who says they're recovered, they'll know what to do. They'll take you through. And I went to my first meeting, and someone wrote in the chat that she was a recovered compulsive overeater, and I asked her to be my sponsor. And I couldn't believe the level of service that this woman had given to me. Like, till this day, the level of service that people give in this program is beyond, like, I blows me away. I know today, like, they depended on it as much as the newcomer does, but I didn't know that. And I don't know, it was just an incredible experience. I mean, she took me line by line of the big book. She helped me define abstinence. She told me that you need to go get a real meal plan from a nutritionist, explaining to me that she's not a medical professional, that I should seek someone who could tell me what the right size and weight for my body should be, what is the correct measurements of food. Questions that, like, I thought failed me so many times in the past. Why would I ask them again? I put new things down, just took whatever advice was going to be readily available to me, and then started on the journey of working the steps. And there was no rush. People would say, work this like your hair is on fire, but at the same time, there's so much to understand. And we, sorry, let me just let my daughter. She gave me assignments, she gave me podcasts to listen to. We went line by line. And I mean, we were done within 2 months, but I had a strong foundation. I had an idea of how to take someone else through when I got to step 12, you know? And that was like this big fear too, was like, if I work this so fast, like everybody keeps saying, like, what am I gonna do? Like, I don't know what this big book says, you know? So the fact that like we were able to go through it, you know, and she taught me about prayer and meditation, you know, what that looks like, waking up every morning, first thing, learn that you're gonna need to connect with God the same way you're gonna need to brush your teeth every morning. Like there's just some non-negotiables. She told me that I have to start making outreach calls. My gosh, that was terrifying in the beginning. Who wants to be interrupted during their day? Like, who's going to want to talk to me? And I mean, like, that's opened me up to a world of like people and support and recovery. You know, learn to start, you know, being on meetings, being on time to meetings, being with video on, you know, that was still like struggle for a long time. Like, it's so easy to just show up and say, I came to a meeting and have your video off and not share and barely listen and, you know, browse through, you know, other websites while I'm on Zoom. But I mean, so much of what I get in is what I get out, you know? What I really got from working the steps is living in that fourth dimension, you know, is being able to say, okay, you know, third step, I'm gonna turn my will and my life over to the care of God and start leaving the results to God, right? And I started witnessing these incredible miracles that happen when I turn my will and my life over to the care of God. I started seeing that when I put pen to paper and start working out a resentment inventory or a fear inventory, that's me doing the work and letting God deal with the results. Let me see how I get the ball rolling. Let me see what my character defects are. Let me ask God to remove them. And little by little, like the road kind of gets narrower with the things that like you realize, like, I can't be absent and gossip. I can't be absent and watch certain things on TV. I can't be connected to God and engaging in certain behaviors. And things get cleaned up, and things get cleaned up, and they get progressively better. And I just wanted so many things to just happen overnight. And I've learned that like it just doesn't. It just doesn't, and that's okay. I want the story to end. My default is always like, okay, how's it gonna end? How's it like, am I gonna be okay? Am I gonna be safe? Am I gonna be taken care of? And like today I've learned to like slow down, to enjoy life, to enjoy the process, to like not get so caught up. And it's not perfect, you know? But today would have been one of those days that I would have eaten. I'm stressed. There's things that I'm planning. There's things that I want to go right. Like, people were upsetting me today. Things weren't going my way. And the miracle of it all is not that I didn't eat. It's that that wasn't the thought that even came into my mind. And that's not what it used to be like. You know, it's either I was eating or I was thinking about eating and like just completely like not at peace. But today I could feel my feelings, and the first thought is not, what am I going to eat? It's just not. And that really takes me to like what kept me going is before we even worked the steps, my sponsor read the promises, and I'll read them because that was hope that she told me. And I'll read the ones that come after step 10 on page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or everyone, even I'm going to use food instead of alcohol. That she said, there's going to be a time when you're not going to be fighting this anymore. For this time, sanity will have returned. That I'm going to be sane. I'm going to have peace. I'll seldomly be interested in food. If I'm tempted, I'll recoil it as if from a hot flame. That was a miracle in itself. I mean, how many times did I get burnt with alcohol, but I still kept going back to that burn, Like, that was crazy. And she's saying that I'm going to actually recoil from it. I would react sanely and normally, and I'll find that this has happened automatically. There are days I have today that I am like, how? Wow, I didn't even think about food today, like in the ways I used to. I had my meals and I didn't, like, I still get blown away years later that like I had a day like that. We will see that our new attitude towards food had been given to us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. I didn't need to pick up a new diet. I didn't need to do a new workout regimen or a new, promise or something. Like, it just came. That's the miracle of it. I'm not fighting it, neither am I avoiding temptation. I feel as though I've been placed in a position of neutrality. And that is like a beautiful word, like neutrality, like safe and protected. I've not even sworn off. I didn't even need to make this big declaration to somebody that, like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Instead, the problem has been removed. It was removed. It was removed. It does not exist. I'm neither cocky nor am I afraid. That is our experience. That's my experience. That's how I react as long as I keep in a fit spiritual condition. So I get this every single day. As long as I keep in a fit spiritual condition. And what does that mean? Is that today I have to work with others. I have to give everything that I've got. Everything that's been given to me, I have to give to the next person. I have to carry this message. I have to spread to you guys that you don't have to have one more day in pain and in suffering. You don't have to have one more day thinking what a loser you are, or how do you not get this and everybody else gets this. Like, you don't need to have one more day because there's hope. And I crossed the bridge that I got to cross was from being a person who sits in the room focused on the problem to the people who get to sit in the rooms spreading the solution. And I had to get to the point. Like, what I had to do was just get to the point of desperation where it was life or death, And I don't know. I'm so grateful that no matter how painful that point was, like, and scary that point was, that like it came, and can't wish it for anyone else as much as I'd love to, as much as I would love to tell people, like, oh, you just need to get that point. Everybody has to have the dignity of their own experience, but just know that when you do, there's a world out here of people that just have so much light and so much wisdom and stories of miracles like we wouldn't believe, I have great relationships today with my family. I was so scared that, like, I would always have to be this fake person and people wouldn't really know me. I'll finish up a few. I know have a few more minutes. I went through some old diaries that I had from college yesterday. I was reading through them, and One of the things that was just a common repetition so much of my entries was people didn't really know me. They thought they knew me, but they didn't really know me. So I would feel very lonely many times, I would be who people want me to be because all I wanted was just to be without controversy in this world, to just, I was just whatever you need, just let me be in peace, I don't know. I don't even have the words to describe it because it's years of this behavior. But today it's sometimes I need a reminder from my sponsee, but I don't have to live in old stories anymore. I got I think one of the greatest gifts I got was a chance to know myself again, and I think that somewhere this disease had just not allowed me to know who Hania th authentically is, and I just wanted to show up at some point just in truth and authenticity of who I am today. And when I get to connect with God and I see that for me God has this unconditional love and just loves me for existing, then maybe I could just start loving myself for existing too. Maybe I don't need to be anyone else except for me unapologetically.
That's 5 minutes.
And thank you so much. I'm actually going to stop there because I would really love to listen to other people share tonight. So thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.